folks. We're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Bellevue Sun. Okay, so now that we've kind of got a good overview of the Iranian culture, their diversity, their history, their moral view, which is very important, I want to make a comparison with that of, well, one of our so-called leaders' moral view, his sycophantic, morally bankrupt, traitorous position. On Memorial Day celebration back in 2012, this man is confronted about his denial regarding the USS Liberty, of which we're all familiar with, by being attacked by Israeli ships or Israeli planes, strafed, torpedoed, almost sunk. And I want you to listen not only to his response to the gentleman that challenged his, the press calls it a heckler, but I want you to listen to the prostitute journalist siding with John McCain, the mesmerized masses in the audience that are booing James Morris, the heckler, I'll use their words, as they are totally clueless of the 1967 event due to the lack of any reporting in the media, I might add. The so-called journalist claims McCain addressed the issue, quote, appropriately. So have a listen. Go ahead, Dan, play that next one.
Did these two think that what they are doing is journalism?
A note to all the hecklers out there, don't mess with John McCain. With Mitt Romney by his side, the Arizona senator and Vietnam War veteran began his Memorial Day remarks, only to be interrupted.
Jerk.
Yeah, having made short work of that heckler.
News 8's Alicia Coates is live with today's ceremony, which was briefly interrupted by a heckler. Alicia?
That's right. Thousands packed the lot here to see GOP presidential frontrunner Mitt Romney and former presidential candidate John McCain speak. And like you said, there was a heckler in the crowd, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, the goal of the day was to honor those that this Memorial Day was meant to commemorate.
Most pro-military city in America, San Diego. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
There was a brief interruption by a heckler in the crowd.
What about your cover up for Israel and the USS Liberty? Have you fought with
him? Get him down!
Take him down!
But McCain addressed the issue appropriately.
Jerk.
That's how they reported on James Morris confronting Senator McCain when Morris called out, "What about the cover-up for Israel of the USS Liberty, Senator McCain?" These so-called journalists not only don't report the context, they cheer McCain calling him a jerk. Not only is what they did not objective journalism, it isn't even basic journalism, because they act as accomplices to the USS Liberty cover-up, where Israel intentionally attacked the USS Liberty. It's far more interesting to explain what this is about than to not explain what it's about. So don't think the media reports the most interesting aspects of stories. Here's James Morris calling into the Representative Press voicemail to explain why he confronted McCain.
Hello, it's James Morris. I questioned John McCain on Memorial Day 2012 about his association and his Admiral Father, their association with the ongoing USS Liberty cover-up. I was there at the request of only three-time USS Liberty Veterans Association President Philip Turney. And when John McCain responded to my valid question, again, he's been involved with the cover-up going back to when his father had ordered the cover-up when he was in charge of European Command for the U.S. Navy, at the request of the highest level of the President Johnson administration. And we know this because a friend of mine, Captain Ward Boston, had blown the lid off the cover-up. He was the JAG lawyer working for Admiral Isaac Kidd, who reported directly to John McCain's father. When John McCain responded the way he did, with that jerk response callously, he not only called me a jerk, but he called every one of the murdered USS Liberty crew a jerk, and the wounded, to include Philip Turney, who I was there on behalf of, and the families of those murdered and wounded USS Liberty crew members. For John McCain to say that he was having us remember the fallen who had made such great sacrifices to our country. And he made mention of Arlington National Cemetery as well, and all the American flags that were put on the graves there. How dare he call me a jerk when I was trying to remember the USS Liberty crew when he wouldn't dare to.
Greetings. My name is Philip F. Turney, 3 times USS Liberty Veterans Association president, and I want to let the people know on YouTube, Internet, or the world that James Morris courageously confronted John McCain on Memorial Day about the USS Liberty. 34 of my shipmates were murdered that day, June 8, 1967. 174 others were wounded, including myself. The USS Liberty crew was told to never say a word about what they did to us. I'm talking about Israel and America. The governor of Israel committed many war crimes that day. The worst of is shooting at our life rafts. We were trying to put our most severely wounded in there to try to save their lives, and they would have none of that. John McCain's father, commander, chief, senior commander, United States Europe Fleet, ordered the cover-up, and he was also in the cover-up by sending no aircraft to our aid, along with Lyndon Baines Johnson and McNamara. Now, why would Senator McCain cover up this 45-year-old murderous, despicable act of war on the United States of America? Why would he do that? How dare him? How dare his father? And how dare him call a representative of the USS Liberty Veterans Association, James Morris, a jerk? When he did that, he called the murdered a jerk, he called the survivors a jerk, and he called the families and friends and supporters of the USS Liberty all jerks. How dare him, and how dare him keep up with the cover-up? Get us in front of Congress, Senator McCain. You can't because you're afraid to. But hear us out, Senator McCain. We are not liars. We're honest, respectable men that gave our blood for this country. Please respond. Thank you.
All right. Well, you heard that. Now, McCain was there to honor those fallen heroes. Well, I have a question for McCain, and by the way, Phil Turney put out the challenge to McCain to speak to him in front of the House of Representatives, and of course McCain, cowardly with his tail between his legs, has never responded to that. But what about the men on the Liberty? What about those heroes, McCain? Okay, McCain called it a mistake. He actually put it on the back cover of a book. I don't recall the name, but his father was ordered to say that it was a mistake. And even those admirals, Admiral Maurer, the German or the Marine general, and also the Army general that held the hearings at the club at Capitol Hill, okay, they all knew, and it's in the congressional record, that indeed this was a deliberate attack, an act of war by Israel, and the men on the Liberty were ordered not to talk about it. And McCain has the blatant audacity to call these people or call this man a jerk. This man is beyond morally bankrupt, and I would put this out to the audience that if you see him anywhere or you have his contact information, I would write him a scathing email about that. I would call him on the phone, which I plan to do, and I would blow up his ear, which he probably won't talk to you anyway because he knows he's a scurvy little maggot. But that said, okay, speaking as to McCain's views on the veterans, this, folks, does this not make you sick? This nauseates me, because I'll tell you what. All right, let's take a quick listen to McCain's views on the moral, beautiful, cultural Iran with nothing but peaceful intent. And he knows it because he knows that country over there, and he knows what they're all about. So let's play the next clip, Dan. Go ahead.
Let's bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Bomb, bomb, just like Japan.
All right, yeah, that's enough of that. You get the idea, folks. All right, that's McCain's attitude about Iran. Bomb, bomb Iran. And why is this, okay? We know why it is, because he's a sycophant. He's a hiney-sucking, Israeli-loving bozo, which is, I could use a whole lot of descriptive words for this. But it isn't McCain, just isolated, okay? You heard Hillary Clinton in the clip with Ken O'Keefe cackling like the witch that she is, like the psychopath that she is. She's working on it. They're working on bombing Iran. Could you imagine for a moment? Just imagine that she were elected in office, we'd already be in World War III. And by the way, after listening to Trump and him putting on the yarmulke, kissing the Wailing Wall, okay, bowing down to the Saudis, dancing with them with swords, you know, sucking up to Benjamin Netanyahu and Beetlebogen. I mean, this is sickening. And for all of us who thought that Donald Trump was going to be our savior and he was going to bail us out and do all this stuff, this man is falling right in line with the rest of these maniacs who want to get us into World War III. And sadly enough, who, because of Israel's interests in the Odenyinon expansion project, want to make a parking lot out of a country that has the most beautiful, the most historic culture of the last 2,000 years. I sat here this morning before the show started, and I was watching a clip, and it was going through the history of Iran and the culture of Iran and the artifacts of Iran and the warriors of Iran back in B.C. And the white culture of Iran and some of the most beautiful people. And I would encourage you folks to go in and type it into YouTube and just look at that country, look at the history of that country. And these people are wanting to make it into a parking lot for Israel. These people are out of their flaming mind. And might I remind you, okay, that in the show that I did the other day regarding Palestine, remember, for hundreds of years, and same as with Iran. Iran has churches that are mosques, synagogues, that are right within a stone's throw of each other. And Palestine, prior to the occupation of Israel, had the same thing going for hundreds of years. And they all lived in peace. Jews, Muslims, and Christians. What happened? You want to know what happened, folks? Theodore Herzl, that's what happened. The Odenyinon Project, that's what happened. The greater expansion of Israel, that's what happened. And the exposure by Harold Rosenthal of who these people are and what they're all about. And something needs to be done about it. And by the way, I don't want to leave James Traficant out, because he went on Fox News with Sean Hannity and he called it out for what it was on mainstream TV. And Hannity said, "This sounds like a conspiracy theory." He says, "No, it's a fact." And the truth of the matter is, yes, it is a fact. So in closing out what I'm speaking about today, and in closing out everything that I've provided to you for this week, I'm going to play for you another clip, or I'm going to have Dan play for you another clip, regarding one of our former president's views on the current Palestinian slaughter. So go ahead, Mike, play that fifth clip. Dan, go ahead.
Hardball, we're back with the 39th president of the United States, Jimmy Carter. His new book is called Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. And President Carter, why did you use the word apartheid in the book's title?
Well, let's look at the entire title, if you don't mind. The first word is Palestine, which involves the land that belongs to the Palestinians, not the Israelis. I didn't refer to Israel because there's no semblance of anything relating to apartheid within the nation of Israel. And I also emphasize the word not, that is peace and not apartheid. That's what I hope to accomplish with this book, is some move toward that goal. But there's no doubt that within the occupied territories, Palestinian land, that there is a horrendous example of apartheid. The occupation of Palestinian land, the confiscation of that land that doesn't belong to Israel, the building of settlements on it, the colonization of that land, and then the connection of those isolated but multiple settlements, more than 200 of them, with each other by highways on which Palestinians can't travel, and quite often where Palestinians cannot even cross. So the persecution of the Palestinians now under the occupying territories, is under the occupation forces, is one of the worst examples of human rights deprivation that I know. And I think
even,
it's...
Even worse, though, than a place like Rwanda?
Yes, I think, yes. You mean now?
Yes, yeah, yeah, I think the impression now of the Israelis, of the Palestinians by the Israelis, is worse than a situation in Africa like the oppression of Rwandans and the civil war.
I'm not going back into ancient history about Rwanda, but right now, the persecution of the Palestinians is one of the worst examples of human rights abuse I know, because the Palestinians...
When you're talking about right now. You're not talking about, say,
I'm not talking about ancient history,
ago.
No.
Well, Rwanda wasn't ancient history. It was just a few years ago.
You can talk about Rwanda if you want to. I want to talk about Palestine. What is being done to the Palestinians now is horrendous. In their own territory, by the occupying powers, which is Israel. They've taken away all the basic human rights of the Palestinians, as was done in South Africa against the blacks. And I make it very plain in this book that the apartheid is not based on racism, as it was in South Africa, but it's based on the desire of a minority of Israelis to acquire land that belongs to the Palestinians and to retain that land and then to exclude the Palestinians from their own property and subjugate them so that they can't arouse and demonstrate their disapproval of being robbed of their own property. That's what's happening in the West Bank. And the people in this country, in America, never know about this. They never discuss this. There's no debate about it. There's no criticism of Israel in this country. And in Israel, there is an intense debate about the issues in this book. In this country, no.
I agree. I mean, I wish we had that sort of debate that they're having in Israel. I wish we had that in the United States. But give us a sort of sense. How much of the responsibility for the conflict, Israeli-Palestinian conflict, do you think belongs to the Israelis for their tactics like seizing land and occupying territory that didn't belong to them? How much of it is the responsibility of the Palestinians for their suicide terror attacks and their bombings within Israel proper?
Well, as a matter of fact, the basic cause of the conflict is a sustained occupation of other people's land by the Israelis. And this is a direct violation of United Nations resolutions. It's a direct violation of the International Quartet's roadmap. It's a direct violation of the commitments that leaders of Israel have made in the past at Camp David when I was president and in Oslo, promising that Israel would withdraw from occupied territories. They have failed to do so. In response to that, and I'm not excusing them, there have been acts of violence. As a matter of fact, though, Hamas, the number one accused persons of violence, have not committed an act of suicide bombing that caused an Israeli life now since the August of 2004. And I hope that they won't do that anymore. Other participants of the Palestinian society, smaller ones, have committed some atrocities. But the loss of life in the entire occupied territories has been horrendous and has been caused.
Okay, that one just cut off. All right, that's okay. So, folks, so according to Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu and Biedelboken there, Iran funds, and you hear this all the time, I just heard Trump come out with it just the other day, Iran funds terrorist groups. No, Donald Trump and your bosom buddy Benjamin Netanyahu and Biedelboken, Iran assists their allies just like you do, i.e. Syria and Palestine, in their gallant attempts to defend their respective nation states. And why? Well, we know why. One only has to look at a map of the Odenyinon expansion of Israel project and overlay it on a world map. So I got a message for you, Donald Trump. Mr. President, you, like your predecessors, are being played like a stooge by your good buddy, Benny Netanyahu Biedelboken. Just ask Harold Rosenthal. And you know what's even more interesting than that? Well, as interesting as that. I was just looking at a poll this morning, and there was four countries that there was poll taken about the public's knowledge of what's really happening in the Israel-Palestine position. And they were talking about the geographic land and the percentage of how many people think that the land is being occupied by Israel and Palestinian is invading, or is the land occupied by Palestine and Israel is invading or overlapping. And interestingly enough, in the four countries that were surveyed, I can't remember the other two, but Britain was one and we were the other one. And then there was a couple of other ones. I think they were in European countries. Out of the four countries that were the poll was taken, believe it or not, better than 50% of Americans on this geographic locale, this domestic domicile, believe over 50% than Palestinians are occupying Israeli land. That is absurd. That is misreporting of mainstream news, and that's propaganda as its finest. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around, more to come.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Live from the Valley of the Sun. No, I won't back down. I'm not going to back down. I'm just getting started. Okay, you put me into a focus on something specific, of which I have to admit, by the way, I wasn't taking a real good close look at, but I am now. I was sitting here. I didn't, after I got home from my other job last night, I sat up till midnight watching these clips, and I was appalled by what I saw. One specifically, another clip I saw was a Benjamin Beetleboken standing before Congress, and Congress gives him 20. I mean, the seats didn't even get warm. They were standing and clapping for this guy. Both sides of the aisle, okay? These sycophants, these hiney-licking whatevers are just clapping with rousing applause. Now, there was one guy. He was clapping, but not very enthusiastically. That guy happened to be Ron Paul. And do you know that an Israeli journalist had the audacity to demean him because he wasn't clapping with the amount of enthusiasm that she thought he should have? This is a classic of, in all history, folks, this is a classic of the tail wagging the dog. And I have to tell you, I guess the good news about this is I'm joinking around on YouTube and I'm looking at this and people are starting to come out. People are starting to get it. And I'm going to tell you, it's time. It's way past time that we start doing something about this. And I'm talking about letting people know in those halls of Congress and the Senate that we know they're not fooling us. And it's time to act. And I mean it. Okay, I'm talking about, you know, this letter that, like, this dumbed down, mind numb, mesmerized. How do these people get elected? How does this fool actually walk in the halls of Congress? Now, I watched another clip with Cynthia McKinney. She was being interviewed by Press TV, and she spelled it out. She says, you have to sign a pledge with Israel, or you're not going to get any funding from AIPAC. And if you remember when I was talking to you the other day about even way before AIPAC, they had a couple of other Jewish lobbies there, and it was Louis Brandeis and all these guys that got together, and they started to get funding, and they put these organizations together. And at the time, back in 1948, they had what equated to, in today's dollars, $1 trillion to be able to buy off everybody they wanted. That's how this whole thing got started, folks. And we can end it. Now, another thing I want to mention to you, and I'm going to open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443. Call in, give me your thoughts, pro, con, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. But this guy, Ken O'Keefe, the guts that this man had, all right, he put together, and I watched this last night as well. Now, I have seen 15 to 20 documentaries regarding 9/11. Now, I've seen how the power, you know, I've seen Loose Change 2. I've seen Sophie Smallstorm's video. I've seen a number of these. And yes, they go into how they came down, and they go into thermite was used, and they go into the planes, and they go into the different possibilities of whether the planes hit the building or whether it was, you know, holograms that hit the building or whatever. But I will tell you this: Ken O'Keefe put together an hour and 46 minute video, and he walks it through chronologically, and it is probably, and by the way, he got input from Christopher Boleyn, who also did the same thing, and I saw his, but Ken O'Keefe puts it together in chronological order, so precise that when you watch that, you can't walk away from any other conclusion that indeed it was a joint operation between the United States and Israel. Hands down, no question about it. He points it all out chronologically, point by point by point by point. And even the most mind-numb, dumbed-down American would be getting a slap in the face to watch it. And I want to encourage you, folks, now more than ever before, you need to bring people to RBN. You need to tell them about it. And if you're not, you know, if you don't feel yourself confident enough, bring them to RBN. Pull out the archives of this show, all right? Send me an email. I'll send you a copy of the latest 9/11 documentary that I just watched with Ken O'Keefe. Okay, this guy is all about it. This guy has been to Palestine more times than I can count. He's been to Iraq. He was in the military. He's seen the devastation that's going on. He's seen the carnage that goes on, that is going on today on a daily basis in Palestine right now under this illegal occupation of a country that they supplanted the Israelis on top of, and they have been aggressors since before Israel even became a state up to this day. And originally the plan was going to be that 55% was occupied by Israel, 45% by Palestine. Palestine now owns about 10%. We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Again, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. You know, I was thinking during the break, as I was kind of doinking around, I pulled up RBN's website, and I'm looking at this article, and I'm going, oh, you know, it's a heavy responsibility as well as a burden for us to put the glasses on and be able to see. Because as I read this caption for this article, put out by Ron Paul, by the way, let's see, it says, by the Ron Paul Institute, yeah. Breaking news, Tillerson unveils a new U.S. Syria plan that Assad must go. Oh, here we go, it's back to this again. Rex Tillerson, one of those heavy businessman, billionaire businessman, friends of Donald Trump, who got installed as the Secretary of State. So let me carve this one up for you with his propaganda. Listen to this. Confirming that the United States military presence inside Syria had little to do with fighting ISIS, the U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson unveiled in detail today the real U.S. strategy for Syria, overthrow the Assad government. Like we didn't know that. It had little to do with fighting ISIS. Like, here's the problem. For the dumbed-down, mind-numb, mesmerized Americans, they go, oh, okay. Whereas we're sitting here going, tell us another lie, you sycophant.
In a speech at Stanford University's Hoover Institution and introduced by President George W. Bush's Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, gag me with a spoon, Secretary Tillerson vowed that the United States military would continue to occupy Syrian territory until three conditions are met. Now get this one, because I'm going to give them the solutions right now, folks. First, ISIS must be destroyed. I see. This condition is made all the more problematic by the well-reported fact that it is the United States government that at every turn seems to pull ISIS chestnuts out of the fire, from handing them weapons to allowing them to escape when they are trapped in places like Raqqa. It almost seems like the U.S. does not want to really see this and end ISIS. No, they don't, because they're the ones that created them. Not only did they train them. I mean, we just came into a weapons deal for $350 billion with Saudi Arabia, who is funding these guys, along with our cooperation and our training. Okay, so first, ISIS must go. I got an idea, Tillerson. Demand our money back from Saudi Arabia, okay? Dispense with all the training that's going on covertly by the CIA with these supposed ISIS operatives that are driving around in our Toyota trucks. Can you do that? Now, when you can do that, and you can admit that you can do that, maybe I'll start listening to you. In the meantime, I'm going to roast you worse than you're going to get roasted on Saturday Night Live, okay? That's number one. Number two, second, oh, what a surprise, Assad must go. Tiller's admission that this is the sine qua non for any U.S. military departure from Syria confirms that the Trump foreign policy is no different from that of Hillary Clinton for her former boss, President Obama. Recall that as part of the thank you tour, President-elect Trump reiterated promises made by candidate Trump to break with the past. Okay, so let us rethink this. Why do they want Bashar al-Assad out? Well, let's see. Does it have anything to do with that pipeline that they're putting through there? Okay, or the control thereof? All right. Does it have anything to do with putting their own puppet in there to slice up, balkanize Syria, and give the part to Israel that they want? Well, of course it does. So, Tillerson, why don't you just be up front? You know what's really amazing? It's kind of like a, you know, a come-to-Jesus thing, right? All right? You know how much better you feel when you confess? You know, you did something wrong, you hurt your neighbor, you got drunk one night and you said some things you shouldn't have said at a party or whatever. And then, you know, you think about it for a day or two and you apologize to him. You know what? I was wrong. I lied. Or I was drunk. I fell down, broke your table. I'm sorry. Why don't we try that? That'd be a good first step, don't you think? ISIS must be destroyed and Assad must go. Well, let's see. Wasn't that the contention all along that Assad must go? But we never really got the reasons why, other than Assad gassed his own people, which we know that's a bunch of bunk, okay? And you tried that twice and it didn't work. When are you going to give up? Oh, and by the way, don't forget that Russia and Iran, I think, and China are allies of them. So what's your strategy here, Clyde? All right? I would really like to know. Now, let me continue here. We will pursue a new foreign policy that finally learns from the mistakes of the past. Really? You haven't done that yet, okay? As a matter of fact, not only have you and your administration done it yet, excuse me, Trump's administration with you as Trump's sycophant on the way up to the Israelis, okay, but even prior administrations, the Bush administration, and prior to that, the Clinton administration, okay, and prior to that, the George H.W. Bush administration, I can go all the way back to Kennedy, okay? Oh, and by the way, Kennedy, yes, he tried to institute Federal Reserve, United States notes, and go against the banking system, and he also wanted to send inspectors into the Dimona facility in Israel. He got shot over that. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We don't want to go that route. Well, anyway, it is clear that he lied, as it is reported that he signed off on the new Syria strategy last month at a meeting of his national security counselor. So Secretary Tillerson said today that new elections should be held in Syria and that President Assad should lose. Well, let me think about that for a minute. How's that going to work? All right. You see, I think the last time they had an election, Assad got 87.3% of the vote. So how is it that you're going to wrangle a new election and get Assad to get less than 50% of the vote? I'd like to know, okay? I mean, is there something that we're not – well, of course, there's always something we're not being told because you guys don't tell us the truth about anything because your strings are being pulled by the Israelis. Yay! All right, so anyway, going on. United States believes that free and transparent –
The United States believes that free and transparent elections will result in the permanent departure of Assad and his family from power. Assad's regime is corrupt, and his methods of governance and economic development have increasingly excluded certain ethnic and religious groups, and such oppression cannot persist forever. Well, that's interesting. Did I miss something here, folks? Did Assad kick the Jews out of Syria? Did he go by way of Hitler or Iceland? Okay. He says that the regime is corrupt and his methods of government and economic development have excluded certain ethnic and religious groups. They don't name the groups. How come? Am I right? Am I wrong? I don't know. All right. But I just want to know, how are they going to have a new election? Tell me, is Assad going to run in that election, Rex? I mean, this is beyond humorous. This is farcical. These people are running our government, folks. Now, if that isn't scary enough, picture a puppet show, all right, where you got the little stand up there like, you know, like we were when we were little kids, and you got about four or five of them, and you're behind the scenes and you're pulling their strings, okay? Some of the things that these people are saying are so inane, so ridiculous, but they're like a puppet, okay? They're just opening their mouth, and this stuff is coming out, and I don't even think they listen to what they're talking about. So anyway, let's continue here. Tillerson's speech reveals that the old myth about the Syrian people rising up to overthrow Assad is still very much viewed as gospel truth in Washington. Well, that's because they believe their own lies. You know, one of these idiots will tell another idiot, you know, the Syrian people really want Assad out of there. Yeah, well, he got 87.3% of the vote. Yeah, well, don't look at that. We don't worry about that. Anyway, let me take a break here. Let's go to Francis in North Carolina. Francis, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hello, youngin.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm breathing, walking, conscious, or at least semi-conscious.
Me too. Do I sound like I'm breathing and walking? Go ahead.
Go figure. If you're not, then I want to know what you've been eating or drinking. two quick questions. One, I have not really been keeping up on the so-called medical news of Johnny Boy McCain or whatever, and his ankle boot or whatever you want to call that thing, and yep. Which leg he put it back on to from or whatever have you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't answer. It was on his left leg with a pulled umbilical cord or something. They shifted it to the right leg, so I can't answer that. Move on. Next question.
Here, I thought it was the right leg going back to the left leg or whatever. But anyway, as far as all that medical garbage is concerned, for one thing, if he'd actually done that, he'd be in a wheelchair.
That's true.
Period. For him to be standing there with that and then doing a photo op with that to make people feel sorry for his lanky, for that matter, was a complete joke. And the only reason I say it is because, one, I've had one of those things on, and you're not allowed to put any weight on that foot, mm-hmm. regardless of what's wrong with it. So, okay. Anyway, aside from that, the other aspect is, one, I really don't like to go there, but I might have to at this point. It's not really fair to call Hillary a witch or whatever, or say she's cackling like one, because, quite frankly, when one does, it's actually insulting people that were hanged, sadly, you know, up in New England or whatever, hundreds or so years ago, that were innocent of anything, that were actually good people. So that's actually not helping them because they didn't do anything wrong to start with. As for the third aspect, my question is this, and I don't recall anything occurring, but what was the last country that Iran attacked?
I don't remember, but it was about 300 years ago. It's been a while.
Okay. That would explain a lot then, because to me, that's a complete joke about, oh, we need to attack them because they're going to attack us. Yeah, right, sure, uh-huh. If they want to be left alone, then leave them alone.
I'll tell you what, I got callers on the line and not much time left, but let me just make one quick comment about that. Okay, it just shows you the magnification of the demonization. If we look back, this happens over and over again. They demonize Saddam Hussein, they demonize Muammar Gaddafi, they're demonizing Bashar al-Assad, now they're demonizing Iran. I mean, it's the same playbook. When is the American people going to get it? That's my only question, and it's up to us to do it. That's That's the only way I can answer it.
This is going to wake up. The question is, are people going to wake up and see that?
I hope.
Have a great one.
All right, thanks, Francis. Okay, let's go to Mike in Colorado, is it? Is it Mike, Colorado?
A little farther east. I'm a little farther east than that.
I'm in Kentucky. I'm sorry, Mike. I don't have you up on the screen. I just saw it. It flicked off real quick, so I didn't recall.
That's fine.
Anyway, what's on your mind, buddy?
Well, you know, you're talking about, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu, and I don't know where you're getting that hilarious.
Oh, it's Netanyahu and Beetleboken. I made that up. I mean, that's his new name for me. Benjamin Netanyahu and Beetleboken, okay? This clown gets up before Congress, and he gets more claps than our own president, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, anyway, I think there's a huge section of the Zionist people that are pretty much atheists, and because they don't like to retain God in their mind and their knowledge, he sends them over to a reprobate mind. And anybody that studied the Bible much knows that there's a strong delusion to be avoided, and of course you don't want to be sent over to a reprobate, useless mind. But in the last days, what I like to tell a lot of Christians that are all into this Israel Firster stuff, and there's hosts on this radio network that just don't question Trump at all. All of his children, except for the 10-year-old or 11-year-old, is married or engaged to Jewish people.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. I got a good wake-up call over the last few days here with watching literally a score of different videos, and I'll have to tell you that, no, Trump is part – he is marching. He's goose-stepping right along with the beat. You know, that's all I can tell you.
He's almost like some kind of – like maybe they got a hold of him and programmed his mind or something. I mean
– Maybe they cloned him. I don't know. Anyway,
every now and then the remote control goofs up, I think, with some of his tweets. I mean,
maybe so. I'll just tell you this. Because I got to run here. I got another call, and we're running out of time. But I think they cloned him. You know, I mean, something happened here because.
Well, let me say this to any Christian out there that is this Israeli firster wants to rebuild a temple. If this really is the last days, then you're going to have to know who the Jews are that say they're Jews but are not of the synagogue of Satan, and what is that strong delusion? Otherwise, are you handed over to a reprobate mind? What's going on there? You worship.
Well, the only question I have about the whole thing is that when Rosenthal said that, you know, Jews don't like to admit it, but Satan is their God. Well, okay, but then they say that this is all there is and get what you get because when you're dead, you're dead. No, you're not, because Satan's got your soul, and then, you know, I hate to tell you what happens after that. Well, that I got to run.
Yeah.
Let me go. All right, thanks, man. Let's go to Peter in Los Angeles. Peter, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Well, Michael, I wanted to just raise one quick point, and that is you put together what happened with the Liberty. You put together what happened with 9-1-1, with what Rosenthal said, with AIPAC, with all the things going on. And am I out of line by saying the people that enable this in the United States are a fifth column?
A fifth column?
Is that the wrong term, or is that the right term?
Well, I don't know. I mean... what's the other four columns?
You've not heard that term before? You don't know term?
I've heard the term fifth column. I don't know what it means, really. I've heard the term, though. You know, the fifth column. All right. So, all right, define fifth column.
Well, I would ask you and the Reluters to do that. But, for instance, during it was a term coined in the Second World War when the Blitzkriegs broke out in, you know, 1939 and 40, when the Germans had sympathizers within countries, the Low Countries, Norway, Quisling was one, Patan was, you know, another.
Okay. Are you speaking of possibly operatives that operate in this country that are, you know, Israeli foresters? Yeah.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Israeli foresters are indeed the term fifth column. Which look it up, people. They're fifth columnists. They're not for us. They're for another country, and we've got to start using that term.
Okay. No, I agree with you. I call them Sionims because
that term too. And you're right. You're right. But fifth column, I think would resonate with more people.
Okay, and you got a point. Probably would, because I have to explain cyan image almost any time I bring it up. So, yeah. Okay.
I agree, but I know exactly what you mean by that, and they are.
All right, so, I'm writing fifth column down. Okay, now I know that Benjamin Netanyahu and Beagleboken is not one of them, but I do know that Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowy, Frank Lowy's got a stellar reputation and a background. I didn't even go into that, but that's a story for another day. But yeah, I wrote it down for you, Pete. Okay, all right.
Heinzelman, Sheldon Adelson, George Soros, Michael Chertoff, all these guys, all the people in the Office of Special Plans that helped get us into the Iraq War, they're all sitcoms.
Dove Zackheim, we can go on and on.
Dove Zackheim, exactly.
Richard Pearl, you know, Douglas Fife,
yes.
All those guys, yeah.
Paul Wolfowitz, yes.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Pete. Got to go to a break. Final segment coming up. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I'll close out on another fifth columnist, Rex Tillerson. Be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Folks, we're back. The final segment of The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. I want to get through this real quick. I only got a few minutes left. If I can get to you, Fred, I will. Hold on. I'm not sure. I want to close out this Tillerson speech. And it reveals the old myth about the Syrian people rising up to overthrow Assad is still very much viewed as gospel truth in Washington. Our expectation is that the desire for the return to normal life with help rally the Syrian people and individuals within the regime to compel Assad to step down. Translation?
We're going to continue to make life miserable for you until you overthrow Assad. Then it will return to normal. Presumably, the people of Syria understand that what normal life after a U.S. liberation looks like from examples like Libya, Iraq, and Ukraine. And also, Afghanistan we're still occupying. But anyway, Tillerson also made the bizarre assertion that U.S. troops will remain in Syria to prevent the Syrian government from reestablishing control over the parts of Syria abandoned by defeated ISIS. So the legitimate government of Syria will be prevented by an illegal United States military occupation from reclaiming its own territory? This is supposed to be a coherent policy? This is laughable. This just is part and parcel and is a great example of the stooges that we have that are our so-called leaders. With that, let's go to Fred in Iowa. Go ahead, Fred. You're on. How you doing?
Yeah, well, I was going to be real brief so you can get another caller in if you want to. But it says in the Bible, whoever takes the mark of the beast will perish forever. Well, if you don't know who in the hell the beast is, how in the hell are you going to keep from taking his mark? And one other thing, I got a question for the audience, and I hope you're on next week and you keep on the same subject. Protestant, what does that mean? Protestory. I would like any caller that can call in. I bet 1 out of 1,000 don't get it right. What do Protestants believe? What are they protesting?
They're protesting Catholicism, Fred.
Well, yeah, you're pretty correct. You're pretty damn correct. All right, if somebody else wants to get in, I'm done for today. I'll call next week, okay?
All right, thanks, partner. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend, okay? Yeah, I mean, I look at this, the nonsensicalness of this, you know, this clown that is a businessman that comes in here. He's the Secretary of State, obviously doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He's just another puppet sitting behind that little stand with these people pulling his strings, telling him what to say, and his mouth is moving. The nonsense of this, our expectation is the desire for the return to a normal life. And will help rally the Syrian people. The Syrian people don't want you in there, Rex, or us, or Israel, or anybody else. Okay, but we're going to continue to hold the geographic locale, the land of the defeated ISIS. We didn't defeat ISIS, okay? Unless, of course, we funded ISIS, trained ISIS, put them in there, and said, "You made a bad mistake, because now we're going to kick your hind end off and throw you out." Oh, and by the way, we're going to litter the land with a few of your bodies, too. I don't think that happened. Not when Obama was warning, we're going to attack, what was it on Trump's campaign? We're going to attack Mosul. You know, 2 months from now, we're going to attack, you know, warning sign, throw up the red flag, ISIS, get out, we're coming in. We're going to give you a couple of weeks to vacate, all right? This is just such nonsense. It's laughable. If it wasn't so serious, it'd be laughable. Anyway, I think I'm out of time. So have a good weekend. Stay out of trouble. Stay tuned for Michael Rivera. I'm sure he'll have a lot of more great information for you to absorb. Man, you guys' heads must be blowing off with all this information that comes out of RBN. Anyway, see you Monday. Goodbye for now.
I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.